Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health and economics, personal finances, sales and marketing, employment, and many more. Past guests on the show include Adrian Miller of Adrian Miller Sales and Marketing, Alex Kuhn of Want to Lead, and Nancy Schick of Listen to Your Third Ear. This episode is brought to you by Alan Rolnick, the Tax Resolution Ninja, and TriStateTaxResolution.com. Do you owe the IRS money or have not filed a tax return for more than 2 years? The IRS is looking for you. They want to throw you a party. This party is not to celebrate your birthday, anniversary, engagement, or wedding. This party is being made to levy your wages up to 90%, take your Social Security check up to 85%, and seize your bank account and other assets that you own, and revoke your passport. To stop this party in its tracks, you need to call the Tax Resolution Ninja Hotline at 718-841-7317. You see, the Tax Resolution Ninja runs a tax emergency and trauma room that helps people and businesses permanently resolve their tax problems. The Tax Resolution Ninja will do the heavy lifting for you, and you will never have to speak to an IRS agent. If you owe the IRS money, give Alan Rolnick, the Tax Resolution Ninja, a call. I will resolve your tax problem permanently, and you will not have to go to any party that the IRS is throwing for you. To stop the party, call the Tax Resolution Ninja at 718-841-7317. I have as my guest today, Kenneth Kastner. Kenneth is an Israeli-based CPA. He's an enrolled agent here in the United States and is the owner of Kastner Tax Solutions, LLC. Kenneth provides tax preparation, personal tax planning, tax advisory, and accounting services. Kenneth, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and appearing on the podcast.
Thank you, Alan, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'm wondering what we were talking before, and you said your parents brought you to Israel when you were 13. What made you become a CPA or an accountant?
Oh wow! Well, I guess my whole life people were telling me that that I'm good with not necessarily with numbers and math, but I'm good at the small details And it's really come in handy being a CPA and being, you know, working with taxes and seeing, you know, small things that other people wouldn't pick up on. I find that to be a really big asset for me. So I'm glad that I chose this, whether it's by default or not. I kind of like, you know, fell into this, this, and I'm, have no regrets.
So you went to school in it. Did you go to school in Israel?
I got my CPA here in Israel. Okay. And then afterwards I got my EA from the IRS. So essentially the beginning of my career, which started over a decade ago, I was doing mainly, you know, Israeli accounting, Israeli taxes. I worked in the international tax department of EY for a couple of years. And after that I was approached by a small firm that was just starting a U.S. tax service. They asked me to come on. You know, they wanted to teach me everything they know, and they really did. So I started learning on the job, and only after that I actually got the EA formally. So for the past 7 years, I've been dealing exclusively with U.S. tax, and I pretty much put the Israeli tax side on the side.
So you're not doing any Israeli tax at all at this point?
Not exactly, not by myself, but I am about to partner up with an Israeli tax firm, and together we're going to provide a holistic service of U.S. and Israeli taxes.
That's great. That's really good. Your clients are they Israeli citizens who have businesses here in the United States?
Exactly. I focus mainly on real estate, on foreign people. It means Israelis, or it doesn't have to be in Israel. It can be Australians or people, you know, in the UK or Spain or France or wherever they are. And I do get clients from all over the world. They're not U.S. citizens, but they invest in U.S. real estate. And that's a niche that I've been focusing on the last few years. And I'm just going to run with that instead of, you know, being a, you know, more like a general accountant.
So how does someone who's not a U.S. citizen pay their U.S. taxes from businesses they have here?
Okay, well, on a technical level, they, since they don't have social security numbers, you know, in order to have a privilege to file taxes in the U.S., they need to get an ITIN, individual tax identification number. So that's, you know, one thing obviously that I can help get them. But that's filed together with the first tax return. But, you know, the process starts, you know, way before that with the tax planning and the structuring of how they're going to invest, if they're going to invest directly as an individual, or if they're going to open up an LLC and hold that directly, or form that LLC as a partnership, or check the box and call it a corporation. The only thing they can't do is an S corp, because S corps is only for U.S. citizens. But there are people that also invest in the U.S. through Israeli corporations or other foreign entities. You know, to each his own. Everybody has their own different planning structure and ideas of what they want to do. So I can help them at that stage. And hopefully they come to me at that stage. Like you say, also many times clients come to you when it's too late. So by me also, it's important to come even before they invest, so that they can understand what they're getting into and not, you know, have surprises, know, when tax day comes.
That's right. And then comes April 15th or March 15th or whatever the extended due dates are on the tax returns.
June 15th for foreign people. Yeah.
So getting a big tax bill when when your tax return is actually due, that's not a fun thing. And then the client comes to you and says, well, how did that happen?
Exactly. Not only that, but then they go back to the investment advisor and they say, hey, you said I was going to, you know, make, 10 or 12%. And, you know, after taxes, it's only 7 or 6%. Well, you know, what happened? You didn't tell me that. I said, you know, the investment advisor is an investment advisor.
Right.
You have to come to a tax advisor to find out what the taxes are going to be. I'm not going to give investment advice, and I don't expect the investment advisor to give tax advice.
That's exactly right. And then you sort of have to plan this thing ahead of time if you want to save on, you know, save some dollars or shekels. And
absolutely.
Either way. I love it when they come in March 1st and expect you to be a magician, you know.
Yeah.
March 1st, I can't help you very much.
Yeah, I'm not a magician. I could juggle, though.
Now, by juggling, what do we?
Not sure how much that would help them.
What do we mean? Instead of putting it in this box, we put it in another box.
No, I'm talking about taking, you know, three tennis balls and actually juggling them.
that's funny.
I can also try juggling, you know, my work and my family, you know, that kind of, you know, work-life balance. That's also called juggling, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's probably more difficult to do that kind of juggling than to juggle three tennis balls.
Yes, it is. It is, because you don't know what to do first.
Exactly. You have to know your priorities.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get mixed up, you know, one with another.
So tell me about somebody that you, I don't know, save them billions of dollars or thousands of dollars.
I don't know about billions or thousands of dollars, but I'll tell you one story that that a lot of people get wrong. You know, in the U.S. with real estate, everybody, you know, likes talking about the 1031 exchange and how that's, you know, a great way to save taxes for real estate investors. They can just keep rolling it over, you know, switching it for another property and then, you know, not paying capital gains tax. And, it's great. It's great for the cash flow, especially. And it's great for a lot of reasons. And an Israeli or a foreign person that comes to the U.S. and they have a U.S., you know, investment advisor, and everybody's doing this 1031 exchange, and they say, okay, yeah, that's great. I'm also going to do the 1031 exchange. But then what happens? What happens is they don't realize that in their foreign country, let's say in Israel, Israel is not going to honor the tax deferral. So even though they should have, you know, be able to offset their taxes, you know, from the U.S. to Israel. In this case, they're going to end up having double tax because they're going to pay the capital gains tax in Israel. And then only in a later year, when they end up deferring the tax in the U.S., they're going to pay it again. They won't be able to offset it. So that's something that needs to be planned ahead of time, and not to be stuck in that situation where you have double taxation, even though, you know, there's a, you know, there's the internal law and there's the tax treaty that's supposed to prevent double taxation. But if you do something that's just downright wrong and foolish, not their fault, but That's why they're professionals to prevent them and save them from that. Now, unfortunately, there are also tax professionals in the U.S. that are not minded to the, to these, you know, foreign types of issues, because they don't deal with foreigners. They deal with only U.S. citizens. They don't even think about this. It's not on their radar. So that's why I feel that my niche here, helping foreign investors specifically, is something that I can provide a lot of value for.
How do you stop it from being taxed in both places?
Oh, so either if they're filing as an individual, investing as an individual, then I would suggest, you know, probably don't do the 1031 exchange, opt out of it, and just pay the capital gains tax in the U.S. because it's just going to get swallowed up in the tax that you're going to pay in Israel anyway. Israel capital gains tax is higher, so you don't lose anything by paying the capital gains tax in the U.S. And that way also, you know, obviously you have a higher basis, you know, for the next time when you sell. And another way to get around it is to invest through a C corp or something, because a C corp, if the Israeli, talking about Israel, just, you know, for right. the sake of the examples, I'll say Israeli, right. but it could be anything, it could be Australian, right. it could be, right. you know, British, anybody. If the Israeli invests through a corporation, a U.S. corporation, and that corporation invests in the real estate, then the corporation can do whatever it wants in the U.S. It can do 1031 exchanges. It can, you know, roll it over as many times as it really wants to. And it won't touch Israeli tax until the Israeli takes out dividends from the U.S. corporation. Oh. So as opposed to a pass-through entity or a direct investment, in which, you know, if it's direct or a pass through, then, you know, the person is taxed, you know, immediately. If it's a C corp, you know, corporation, then the tax is not immediate, and it's not, it doesn't pass through to the individual. So they can have that as a blocker, so to speak. That's one way to do it.
Okay, so I'm gonna hit you with the reverse. I'm a U.S. citizen, and I want to invest in property in Israel.
Okay.
What are my tax liabilities? I know what my U.S. tax liabilities would be. What are my Israeli tax liabilities?
Okay. So, I mean, the way it works with real estate, sorry?
When I sell the asset.
Yeah. So the way it works with real estate in general, and it also says this specifically in the tax treaty between the U.S. and Israel, the first right of taxation in real estate goes to the country that has the real estate on its soil. Okay. So when we're talking about U.S. real estate, then the U.S. gets to tax it first. And then, you know, Israel can tax it again because the owner is an Israeli resident. Okay. So as being a resident, Israel can also tax them. So the same thing, if you flip it around, if you're talking about a U.S. citizen that's investing in Israel, so the real estate is in Israel. Israel will have the first right of taxation, okay, and they'll tax whatever rental income comes out of it, or, you know, the sale, et cetera. And if there's anything left over for the U.S., then the U.S. can tax you as a citizen also. Meaning, you'll obviously have to report it in both countries, but ultimately, you will only pay the higher tax rate depending on which country has the higher tax rate.
So All right, so let me ask you another question. Does ordinary income, like interest or dividends, is it taxed the same way in both countries?
No, those are two different issues. Like I said, with real estate, since it's connected to the ground, the first right of taxation in real estate specifically goes according to where the real estate is. But when you're talking about interest or dividends, The tax usually goes according to other things, depending on what the treaty says. It could be, you know, based on the person who's giving the giving the interest, the person who's getting the interest. I don't remember exactly which one it is, but it's not the same as real estate. Okay. And there are obviously different tax rates also for each type of income.
Right. Do you have an Israeli tax? I know you don't do the Israeli taxation part of it, but do are the dividends are dividends and interest taxed differently? What's the tax rate between capital gain and ordinary and dividends and interest?
The capital gain rate in Israel is, I believe, 25%, and the dividend and interest is more like 15%. Sometimes it can get up to 20 or 25% or even 30%, depending on what type of owner of the company it is, what type of shareholder and what type of interest. But overall, the interest, like I said, could be as low as 15% as opposed to capital gains, which is a set 25.
Oh, it's almost like us. Because, you know, it's almost the dividends that are qualified.
Right. In terms of that, right. But real estate, capital gains in the U.S. is maxed out at 20%. Although that's also at a high level. It's mostly, you know, there are three levels of 0%, 15%, and 20% in the U.S.
All right. Good. So what are you doing? You're not working.
When I'm not working, yeah. I like watching baseball.
Baseball.
It's not baseball season right now, but I'm a big baseball fan. I like playing baseball also, or softball, whatever there is. I grew up in Little League, you know, with a baseball and bat in my hand. Stayed right there in my blood. It's hard to give it over to my kids because, you know, there's not much baseball here in Israel. There is a little, but not too much. So they're more into, you know, soccer and basketball and right. That kind of stuff. If they go outside, you know, unless, you know, they're usually, you know, in front of a screen, you know, gaming or something.
tough sometimes, you know, especially, you know, if you were brought up here as a little kid. I gotta wonder, you know, how different, you know, the difference is. You know, once you get there, I have it's
very different. Yeah,
you know, the friends of mine, their son, you know, they, but, you know, he was had children, and one of them, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised that he made Aliyah. You know, it's a couple years ago, and he was in his late 20s, I guess, mid 20s, and I gotta imagine that that, you know, the change of lifestyle has gotta be really, really hard.
It is. It's brutal, especially if the kids are older. If the kids are young, it's manageable. I came when I was 13, so I went straight into eighth grade, and it was definitely not an easy time. You get a dose of reality, a different mentality. The way, you know, kids interact with one another, the way, you know, the bureaucracy is, the fact that there's no Sunday free day in Israel. There's not enough baseball. there's a lot of stuff to get used to.
Right, right.
For sure.
All right. Kenneth, I want to thank you for joining me on my podcast. And I
pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And I enjoyed this. This was fun. And we'll do this again at some other time.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that anytime.
Thank you for listening. And please listen to our other podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many others. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.